Hey, Shoei.
Hello.
Long time no see.
It's been a while.
Anything new?
No, I had cake for dinner. A bit of rice.
What I saw you eat was all you ate?
No, I had a tiny bit of rice and salad.
Okay.
And I mean, one of those things where, like, anytime someone says something, I just, like, roll my eyes. Like, I can't control the rolling of my eyes. And it happened a couple of times downstairs, so I was like, I should probably walk away before I roll my eyes too violently and start a feud.
Yeah. Or hurt yourself.
Or hurt myself, yeah.
It can happen.
Yeah.
I roll, especially in the sensitive state that your face is in right now.
I know. I have a sore face.
Shoshana thinks she has an ear infection.
My face hurts.
So, maybe you need those tubes put in your ears.
What if I had to get grommets? That's so embarrassing. When my 8-year-old boy...
I almost had to get them.
It's embarrassing for you.
My mom said it was like one more ear infection and I was going to get them. And then I didn't get one until I was...
I don't think I've ever had an ear infection.
21.
I don't think I've ever had one.
I had them a lot when I was a kid.
I had tonsillitis a lot and then they took out my tonsils.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped getting it and now I get something called pharyngitis. Which is just a made up thing.
Do you get those little white things in the back of your throat?
I had no idea. I never looked at the back of my throat.
One of my friends, her tonsils used to get huge. Disgusting. And then she would get these like white things on them. It was really gross.
I got my tonsils out and at the same time they found out that, I've definitely talked about this before, my nodes, I have nodules on my vocal cords.
Oh.
Famously made fun of in the Pitch Perfect series. But it's a serious ailment.
I think that they did take it seriously in Pitch Perfect.
I don't think they did. As someone who suffers from nodes, I don't think they did.
Is it affecting your singing career?
Yes. I lose my voice. It genuinely affected my, like, madrigha career, like, in youth groups and stuff as a counselor. Because I'd get to camp, and by that night, I'd be hoarse, and by the next morning, I would literally be like this. Like, I'd have nothing coming out. Like, no sound. And my mom calls it camp voice.
Yeah.
And then she celebrated the last camp I did.
Camp Rock?
Camp Rock! So it really did affect...
We didn't do on the last episode that we just recorded? This is our second
one. Welcome to Pop Culture Parsha! Damn it, fuck.
Do that one more time?
No, I'm not playing your silly games,
that
Eli.
Dumb game, like, I fucked up. Like,
you silly have to games. Do it again.
Welcome to Pop Culture. Yeah.
Who is that?
My friend Zevi.
Oh. Nice.
I don't know. He's dating. We can cut this one.
We're leaving all of that in.
No. Where were we? Welcome to Pop Culture Parsha.
You always say it at the same time as me, though. You have to do it again now.
Welcome to Pop Culture Parsha,
where we irreverently discuss reverent texts.
Nice. Was that okay, Eli?
You both looked at me expectantly, and I guess I get to share my opinion out. There's no pizzazz. Where's the pizzazz?
Yeah, Shoshana, give us some
pizzazz. This is our second recording of the day.
Yeah,
and my face hurts.
We
didn't even do it last time. This is infinitely more.
Do you want to switch and I'll do the welcome
okay,
to Pop Culture?
Yeah.
Welcome to Pop Culture Parsha,
where we irreverently discuss reverent texts.
I'm going to edit it so it's just me saying both lines.
Oh my God, of course. That's funny. You should do that, though. Okay.
No, actually, what I'm going to do is just leave all of this in and not edit anything. Okay, so how do we usually do this? Oh, do you have a pop culture moment? I know, it's like I can't remember from one podcast to the next what we do. We literally just did this.
Sorry, let me just mark something as unread.
Oh, she's so busy and important.
I am so busy and so important. Those are both true facts. It was going to be something else. I'll see that one for next week. My one. Have you seen the Ratatouille meme?
The one you just sent me?
No. The Ratatouille meme.
No.
It's a meme. I'm going to visually describe this meme for you guys. It's a meme of a rat. A very small rat.
Pizza rat?
No. This rat is like caught between a bed and, let's say, a cupboard. Fully splayed, like Mission Impossible style. like bracing itself on either side.
Mm.
And the captions.
Are you sending it to me, or you're just describing it to me? I'm trying to,
but this internet is shocking. The caption is, caught this ratta, R-A-T-A, space, tooty, T-O-O-T-I-E, this ratta tooty ass creeping by my bed. And the way it makes me, like, lose my shit every time I see it. Like, I called, like, my roommate asked me what movie we were doing this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Ratatouille. Because, like, that's just how I say it in my head because of this meme. And she's like, you're stupid. You said it wrong. And I was like, no, I am referencing.
Is this Meryl?
Yes. And then I had to show her the meme. And then she was like, what's wrong with that rat? So she didn't like the meme.
Hmm.
But Ratatouille, you own my heart and soul. I love you so much.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. I'm sending you the meme now.
Yeah, great. Okay, my pop culture moment. Shoot, I had a pop culture moment in my mind, and now it's gone.
Do you need one? I have one on offer.
Yeah, can I pick one of yours?
It's Ratatouille related. I was going to give you the Ratatouille TikTok musical.
I don't know what the Ratatouille TikTok musical. Oh my god, this is so funny. You don't know the
Ratatouille TikTok musical? Valerie.
No. I don't know anything.
In like during pandemic, there was this whole trend of TikTok where people started like writing songs for the future TikTok, like the future Ratatouille musical that would air on Broadway. And they were fully making playbills for it and costuming and like set design stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And people wrote full on songs for a musical. And then what they did was, is they collated it all and made like, it was available on a website for like 72 hours and you could watch Ratatouille the musical.
Wow.
And it had famous people in it. It had like, I think the most famous people were like Titus Burgess was in it.
Mm.
Adam Lambert was in it. Wayne Brady was in it.
Wow.
And a couple of other people who were like a bit famous, like more, like, I guess like lesser lists. You know that song? I always sing it. You know, Remy the Ratatouille, the rat of all my dreams.
I've literally never heard you sing that
song. Are you shitting me? I used to sing it all the time. I praise you, oh Ratatouille. No?
No.
May the world remember your name.
It does sound like appropriate to be singing on a like biblical podcast.
Yes, Remy the Ratatouille is like the best song from it. Anyway, I'm gonna send you the link to it. You can be that. I can't believe you've never heard of. I can't believe you're on TikTok. I'm revoking your card again. Last week, last time we recorded, you didn't know what Shiver Baby was. This time, you're on TikTok. You were literally on TikTok before we started recording this.
You act like
TikTok. You like Ratatouille. You are a pop culture person, and you don't know the existence of Ratatouille the musical, the Ratatouille musical.
You act like there's any consistency to TikTok. Like, just because I'm on TikTok doesn't mean... And I wasn't on TikTok until...
Everyone knew this.
Like, pretty recently.
That's on you. That's on you. That's on you.
I was holding out.
Ridiculous.
I'm also not on Snapchat anymore.
I'm debating. I think I'm just going to delete Snapchat. Literally, the only reason it's on my phone is because it, like... keeps all of my apps in the right place, because like I have like muscle memory for where they are, and if they shift I'll be confused.
That might be good for you to like reform, you know, create some new neurons, take your shoes off, make dinner.
Shut up. I will not be doing that.
Here's what I can tell you is probably like a lot of my sense of humor comes from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, same.
Talked about Whose Line Is It Anyway a little bit.
Whose Line Is It Anyway is probably one of my favorite television shows of all time.
Yeah.
I used to sit, like, before.
I used to watch an incredible amount of it. Like,
Before, like, YouTube compilations were a thing and, like, you'd be watching Vines, there was this one guy called, like, 12 Medby on YouTube. And all that dude would do was upload Whose Line, like individual clips, full episodes, compilations of like the best scenes from A Hat, the best of Wayne Brady.
Oh my God.
Literally all I would do was sit on like the disgusting computer that was in my room and like watch Whose Line
on
YouTube.
You had a computer in your room?
Yeah, at a certain point. I was like 14.
Now I know why you are the way that you are.
What does that even mean? What it is, my brother got a laptop for high school. I forgot how to speak for a second there. My brother got a laptop for high school. And my mum didn't want the family computer to be in the family room anymore because it was taking up an annoying space.
Mm.
And so then I got moved into my room also because I was the only one using it. Like, he had a laptop now. And then I eventually got a laptop.
Wow. And so. I got in a lot of trouble when I was in high school because my friend, I had a party and my parents caught me like the next morning. Wow, it was horrible. Really scarring. But one of my friends had left her MySpace logged in on our home computer. And so then my dad like read messages. Oh my God, it was crazy.
That's an invasion of privacy.
Well, because they were like trying to figure out because they like couldn't get from me like how many people had been there, or, like who had bought us alcohol, or like they were trying to like.
That's fucking funny.
Yeah. So, wow, there's some loud opera music happening.
Yeah, what is that?
I assume that it's Chef, but...
Why is he still here? He's usually not here.
I don't know. Maybe he stayed to clean up after Night Seder.
Ratatouille.
Okay. So, are we going to talk about the parsha, or should we just jump into talking about Ratatouille?
Yeah, I guess. What parsha did we do? Vayikra. Vayikra.org/nutshell/Vayikra Exactly. No, I already had it up and running.
Wow.
It's the beginning of a parsha. Of a sefer.
Yeah.
It's Vayikra.
Welcome to Vayikra.
We are officially about to start our third fifth of the Parsha cycle.
Good for us.
Good for us. Did you think we'd last this long when we started this? I'm sorry, just take a second, clean your laptop.
There's just a lot of crumbs in
take your time.
I'm noticing. Thank you.
Every time Valerie made herself dinner tonight, we're very proud. But every so often she'd be like, that potato is a little crunchy.
I messaged your dad and I was like, you should simmer it for a little longer because it's really funny. Yeah, and then Shoshana started commenting when she heard
I could hear the crunches.
When you heard me crunching, she was like,
that's a crunchy one.
Crunchy potato. Some of those were crunchy carrots, which also weren't really supposed to be crunchy, but I got distracted.
Are you ready for my Vayikra?
Wait, what did you... There was something else. Oh, you asked me if I thought we'd make it this long.
Yeah.
I guess it was rhetorical because you forgot. Just go ahead with the parsha summary.
I still, like, I'm gonna be very honest with everyone. I don't know if I have faith in us to keep it up.
At this point, it would make me sad because I feel like it's like the most time I get to hang out with you.
It's true.
When we do this.
Yeah, we get to hang out.
And then we like always have to like watch the movies and like I know about what's happening because we're not in any classes together.
Yeah, it's true. I'm just like we're going to America. Like, I don't know what my schedule is going to like. Thank God we have Sundays.
Yeah, we have Sundays.
Like, thank God we have Sundays.
We're going to be right across the lake from each other.
And we're in the same time zone. That's the other thing that's really helpful.
Yeah.
But, like, it's messing up everything else in my life. Like, I'm missing Purim in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. I have a weekly chavrusa with my friends in England.
Mm.
Hi, Ollie. She listens to this. Most of my other friends don't listen to this.
Hi, Ollie.
Ollie. So, like, but, like, she's 2 hours behind. So, it's usually really easy to make a time on a Sunday because it's, like, nighttime. It's afternoon. I can't do that when I'm, like, 7 hours behind or whatever it is.
Hmm.
And I think like once we get into the rhythm of it, thank God we have a couple of lined up already recorded.
Yeah.
I think. But yeah, anyway.
Well, actually.
We don't?
We have like one.
Oh. Great.
We have tried so hard to like record ahead, but really the episodes we did were like this week and last week. Yeah, anyway.
Okay, so we don't have any lined up. You could row across the lake to me, to Chicago.
Yeah.
The frozen Lake Michigan.
So I could walk across it.
Nice. Yeah, do that.
Ice skate across it.
Do that.
I'm a really bad ice skater.
Oh, so don't do that.
I could use one of those walker things.
Nice. I've been ice skating like maybe twice in my life. Like, very Australian, not an activity we do often.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends, and like oldest friends from high school, Canadian, and like her family moved to Australia, and like we were there for a long time. We were like very, very good friends. She has one of the cutest children I have ever seen in my entire life. Her son.
I'm losing the train of this story.
Okay. The point is they're Canadian. And for one of her birthdays, I went with her family to like an ice skating in the middle of like buttfuck nowhere, Australia. And her very Canadian family, like her dad.
Oh, they're all like amazing ice
so
skaters.
Her dad, who's like was my principal and like I love him to death. He was like a professional, like zooming around everyone doing like pirouette bullshit, like triple axel, like all of this stuff. I literally did not leave the corner the whole, like I was like like an old lady like pulling myself along the wall, did not go off the whole time. It was a horrible experience. I don't like it. I'm not doing it ever again.
Wow.
I think I did it once more maybe after that, but like it's bad. It's so bad.
I took lessons
Amazing. You are from California, though. You didn't need ice.
I grew up playing hockey.
Street hockey?
Ice hockey.
Oh, gross.
Why would he bring up street hockey right now?
I thought it was a retort. I thought it was just bragging. I played hockey, too. And they made us play it in PE. It was field hockey.
Yeah,
it
does ice not count. For 10 years.
Good for you.
If I said to say, I can skate.
I can't. That's the whole point of my story.
Okay, this was me. I was talking, actually. Pay attention to me now. I took ice skating lessons. It was 40 minutes away in Roseville.
Play there.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was 40 minutes away, and then I finished level one, and my friend who I did it with got to go to level two, and the guy was like, I think you should repeat level one.
It is so funny.
Yeah, I was not very good.
My favorite thing in the world, I think when I was like, when I finished my like high school exams, basically the greatest time of my life, I think, was I finished my high school exams in like October, and I wasn't leaving the country for my gap year until like the end of January. And so like all of November, December, January, like was this time in my life where I had absolutely no commitments to anything except work like twice a week. I didn't have university work. I didn't have the university thinking about like, literally like the freest I've ever been. My friends and I hung out like every single day until like 2 a.m. And in that time I went to Canada because like I hadn't seen my Canadian family in ages. And I basically like brought this presentation to my uncle in Australia. And I was like, look, someone has to visit the family and I know you don't want to. So you can send me as like a shaliach for the Australian family. Anyway.
Is this going to relate to ice skating?
Yeah. So my cousin at the time... It's about building a story, Valerie. God damn it.
Wait, I have to tell you that every time I like edit the podcast, I'm like, I was not listening when Shoshana told that story. I'm like,
it's fine. Sometimes I think that too.
New to me.
Sometimes I'm like, when I'm listening back, I'm like, oh, Valerie did have a point to make. Yeah. Anyway, so my cousin was like 8 at the time. And watching him play like peewee ice hockey was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like small kids playing hockey is
cute.
Hilarious. Like just falling down a lot, like not able to do couldn't do anything, like so funny.
I did tell Yardan that that was something that if we moved to Philly, I was like, I will not have a child that does any ice sport.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is very unpleasant to go and sit in an ice rink and have
it's
to
also
watch
so dangerous
your sports.
You know what's like a dangerous sport? When you attach really sharp knives to your feet.
No, at least they wear padding. Ice skaters, but like if you play hockey, there's pads.
Like, do you know how like often people's like hands come, like fingers come to getting cut off, like they fall on the ice and then people like skate right by? Like
Eli says that's not true.
It's so true. It's so true.
Maybe only in Australia.
It's my biggest fear. And I've never, like, haven't set on the foot on the ice in, like, 10 years. And I'm like, I won't get... It's disgusting.
Because that's insane.
It's horrible.
Okay. That's so funny. The idea of people's fingers getting sliced off.
Literally, like, blades come so close.
Here's what I'm saying. No ice sports, no football. Not that any fair. Child of mine will be athletic,
yeah,
but
I was
if you're
like,
dead,
Valerie,
carries...
in what world are your children like, Mommy, I want to play football? And you're like, you'll get back to the craft room and you'll like it.
Sports? No.
No child of mine will be athletic. Like,
no
that's
child
why
of
you,
mine will be athletic.
That's why you kick your kids out the house. Yeah. Not because like they're gay or
and,
anything,
like,
but because they want to play sport.
You've embarrassed me.
It's freaking funny.
You've embarrassed me because you've revealed how little I know about sports by choosing to play one. No, it's true. If Yarden carries our child, then are you looking to see how long it's been?
29 minutes.
No, but that's not accurate because this was on. But we're cutting out like a good chunk of that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway.
Should I get to the parsha?
The point is, Yarden's child might be athletic.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, ready? Oh my God, I just got a message from Rachel Berkowitz because I texted her before Night Santa started and I said, hey, doing the podcast in room one, happy to help with attendance if you need it. She goes, missing you.
Was it just a you?
Just a you.
That's so cute.
Literally my best friend. That's freaking funny. Should I tell you about the Parsha?
Yeah, tell me about the Parsha.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayikra, the first of the book of Leviticus. Hashem calls Moshe to the Oihel Moed, the tent of meeting, and he says, "Here are the laws for Karbanot, i.e. the animal and meal offerings that were brought in the tabernacle." And these are the list of Karbanot in the tabernacle that we got this week.
I just have to say, you're so lucky that we're recording all of these episodes. Like, any normal time you would forget about tabernacle.
That's not true. It's if I say it long enough right now, I'm counting on that becoming just my automatic pronunciation of the word.
Good.
Here are the list of offerings in the tabernacle. The first one is called...
I hope that you get fired from student teaching.
Because I keep saying tabernacle.
Stop saying tabernacle. And you tell all the kids they have tabernacles in their hearts, and they go home and they're like, "Mom, Dad!"
I'm teaching high school, so... The Olah is the ascending offering. I'm literally just gonna read it. And this is one that is like fully raised to God by fire, like on top of the Mizbeach.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got five different types of meal offering or mincha, which is a preparation of like flour, olive oil, and frankincense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the shelamim, which is the peace offering. And the meat gets eaten by the people who bring the offering after some parts of it are burnt on the altar and parts of it are given to the kohanim as like food for them to eat. Then after that, you've got different types of chatat or sin offerings. And those are brought to atone for transgressions and given by the Kohen Gadol. It says transgressions committed erroneously by the Kohen Gadol, the entire community, the king, or just anyone. So like anyone can bring a sin offering, mm-hmm. essentially.
Anyone can sin.
Yeah.
Just like anyone
can cook. Nice. And then you've got Asham, which is a guilt offering by someone who has the wording on the Nutshell website. One who has misappropriated property of the sanctuary, who is in doubt as to whether he transgressed a divine prohibition or who has committed a betrayal against God by swearing falsely to defraud someone. So like acts of guilt, essentially. Like no one's going to really know if you transgress a divine prohibition. Like you can do that in private. No one's really going to know if you swear falsely. Like that's something that you know.
Mm-hmm.
So those are like 1, 2, 3, 4... 5 different types of offering, a couple of different ones, like a couple of them have different flavors to them. Like, and that's literally the whole, yeah, and that's literally the whole parsha. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, Vayikra gets really boring really quick. We had to work hard to break some of these down to get like some meaning mining going on.
Yeah, but don't worry, because we picked a really good movie.
Hell yeah, we did.
So if you haven't already guessed by the amount we talked about Ratatouille, we watched Ratatouille. A 2007 American computer animated comedy film produced by Pixar and released by Walt Disney.
I love Ratatouille so much.
The film stars the voices of Patton Oswalt as Remy, an anthropomorphic rat who is interested in cooking, Lou Romano as Alfredo Linguini, a young garbage boy who befriends Remy, Ian Holm as Skinner, the head chef of Auguste Gusteau's restaurant.
Yeah.
Janine Garofalo. I should have practiced reading these
names. Yeah, you really should
have. As Colette Tatou, a rôtisseur at Gusteau's restaurant and the staff's only female chef. There's a restaurant critic, Peter O'Toole.
Oh, Peter O'Toole.
Remy has a dad and a brother. And then there's also the chef.
Yeah.
Basically, Remy dreams of becoming a chef, even though he's a rat. And
good for
he
him.
Learns that he can control Linguini. Alfredo Linguini. What a name.
I think about that all the time. Like, you guys put all of the thought and absolutely no thought into this naming.
And yeah, he can control him by pulling his hair.
Yeah.
Kinky.
No. Actually, there was like I remember seeing it on TikTok and then it was like turned into an SNL sketch essentially. I think it's like Pete Davidson, like why he's so good in bed or like his character. And it's because there's a little rat on his head controlling him.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
What a movie.
It's such a good movie. It's just so much fun. Like, so many good moments. I took one note because I was enjoying it so much. And that note is a quote that says, She believed in heaven, so she's covered, which is Linguini talking about his mother who died.
I was eating lunch with one of our friends, Claire, in the room. And at some point, she had a piece of cheese and a strawberry at the same time. And she did the thing where, like, he makes his brother, like, take a bite of both and, like, eat it together. And, like, and I was like, is it working? Are you seeing shapes and colors? She's like, yeah.
Synesthesia, baby.
It was so funny. Also, just, like, maybe one of the only Disney films to tackle the idea of illegitimate children? Question mark?
Well, yes. Yes.
Like, it feels very grown up.
But there are a lot of Disney movies where they don't have parents, right? I don't know if there's any others. I mean, Cinderella, I guess, there's, like,
there's sort of a illegitimate
situation.
Like, he doesn't know.
Right.
It's like a secret child. It's like a love child.
Yeah, you're right. That isn't really. And what's weird is, like, it's really unclear, like, that he doesn't know. Like, it's very strange. Yeah, because, like, his mother gave him a letter.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know, but it seems like he should know.
Right. But he doesn't.
Yeah, it just seems weird, like, why he would, like, accept his mother being like, take this letter to and, like, they'll give you a job.
Yeah.
But what? Yeah. That part of the premise, I think, is a little shaky. But,
like, the thing
the rest of it is really believable.
He's clearly not the sharpest cheese in the fridge. I think it's perfect. I think it was the perfect sentence. He's not the sharpest cheese in the shed.
In the shed.
In the fridge. It makes sense that he just hasn't put it together.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's a bit of a bumbling fool.
He definitely is. And how he gets Colette to fall in love with him is...
No clue.
Yeah, very strange to me.
Literally, the only thing I had in my mind when you said that is, like, he is Pete Davidson and she is Kim Kardashian. Like, it's, like, that level of just, like, what is going on?
Oh, my God. What is going on with Pete Davidson and Kim
Kardashian?
You mean
Skeet? It's funny.
I can't.
I feel like good for them. They're just having fun. I mean, Kanye is going batshit crazy.
Yeah.
That dude is, like, not happy about it and keeps posting, like, really bad Photoshops on his Instagram.
I just, like, good for Pete. Like, in Pete Davidson's wildest dreams, he's not dating Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's insane.
I mean, he was engaged to Ariana Grande. Like, this dude must have, like, a magic pee-pee. I think it's just because he's funny and, like, nice. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, probably.
Like, that and tall. And people are like.
Oh, funny guys can get it.
Exactly.
Like, it's so
like,
unfair.
The fact that Colin Jost is married to Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
I mean, Colin Jost.
Yeah.
Colin Jost looks like the most boring piece of white bread I've ever seen in my life. And he has a child with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
With Scarlett Johansson.
Like, there's so many couples like that.
It's crazy.
It's bizarre. We're at 37 minutes already.
Are you joking?
Yeah. We have literally not talked about
the And we have so many comparisons to make. Okay, let's get to it. Let's compare the parsha. Burnt offering.
We should never be allowed to do two episodes.
This is what, like, one of Valerie's points, she made this table, like we usually sometimes do with comparisons. On the one side it says, the preparation for sacrifice includes washing. And then on the other table it says, a rat washing his hands.
I think it's a great parallel.
First of all, he has a name and it's Remy. And you've just said, a rat washing his hands.
No, because they, like, wash. They wash not just themselves, but they wash, like, the entrails. Yeah. Like, the, yeah, the guts of the
offering. That's also, like, the funniest part where he gets sprung, like, and he's, like, holding the sprig. And then he just, like, very slowly drops it.
Yeah.
Classic.
I also like when all the rats come in and he puts them through the industrial dishwasher.
That would kill
them. Oh, for sure.
Would kill
them.
Like, that shit's
so
really
hot. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to work one on a kibbutz once and I, like, scalded my hands. It was bad.
I used to use one all the time.
We had to do it on camp as well. Oh, the worst.
I love them.
Worst job. It's gross.
Yeah, they're great.
Okay, Valerie, do you want to
I loved washing dishes at my old job. Anyway.
Okay, you fucking nerd. No one loves washing dishes.
Here's why I liked it, because I would get, like, annoyed at people, and then I would just go, like, throw things around in the dish room. And, like, we had, like, a whole, it was a whole room, and it was, like, I would be, like, the person, like, scrubbing. There were, like, different stations.
Yeah.
And then they had a dish tumbler where you would, like, you would scrub the dishes, and then you would put them in the tumbler, and it was this thing that, like, had hot water, and it would, like, spin them around. And then you had to reach in and grab them and pull them out and, like, put them in, like, first rinse water and then sanitizer. It was so fun. And I would just, like, beast it out on dishes, and that's, like, I would get out all my aggression that way.
Do you want to tell people some of your comparisons?
Yeah, some of my comparisons.
You did the heavy lifting this week, I will say.
I did. So burnt offerings, I think, like, the clearest comparison is the mushroom and cheese, where, like, the lightning strikes it and then it, like, pops, and then he's like, can you describe the flavor? And he's like, lightning-y.
Nice.
Definitely a burnt offering.
Can you do the second one again?
Yeah. Preparation of offering includes washing, and a rat washing his hands.
Thank you.
And I, hands.
Hands.
Their paws.
Paws.
Little rat feet. Okay. And then we have Aaron's sons, mentioned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lineage question of Linguini. He's the child of Gusto.
Right. He's, like, inheriting the restaurant, essentially, if he can prove it in time.
The same way that Aaron's sons inherit the Kohanim line. Pleasing odors.
Cooking.
Duh. Yeah.
Well, I also think that, like, one thing I really like about this movie is that it visually represents taste and odor in, like, really cool funky colors and, like, shapes. And it's really, like, it does it really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to try that food, but I don't want a rat to make it. Sorry. I'm not very open-minded.
Okay, what if you were told right now in this day and age that you could go to a restaurant that was opened by one of the world's best food critics, but you know that a rat is making your food? I'm just describing the end of Ratatouille. Would you go to that restaurant?
I think no. I'm not, like, really into, like, you know, like, the restaurant where, what is it, for the in the Museum of the Blind, where, it's dark and all
that. It's like an experience. What if I told you, what's your favorite meal? What's your favorite food?
Oh, great question, because I just listed these for your dent. Number one is mac and cheese.
Okay, what if I told you, Valerie?
Yes.
I have the world's greatest mac and cheese at a restaurant called Le Ratatouille. And you can eat it, but this mac and cheese is made by a rat.
I think I already just... answer that question. Okay, number one.
I can guarantee you that it's the best mac and cheese you'll ever have.
Better than Wacky Mac?
Yeah.
I think not.
Yeah, better than Wacky Mac.
Here's the thing about mac and cheese. Like, I don't need to go to a restaurant that's run by rats in order to get a good mac and cheese.
But it's the greatest. Like, I can, like, it will be the greatest one you've ever had. Do you forego that experience, or do you eat rat food?
Forego.
That's so interesting.
What about you?
I'd probably eat the rat food.
You'd eat the rat food?
He washes his hands. That's all. Like, he's a sanitary rat. And he's got Colette working in his kitchen, so it's like a 50-50 if it's rat or not. Like, he comes up with the recipes as much as he cooks. Like, he has humans working for him.
That's true. I've probably eaten in, like, food from dirtier kitchens.
Right? Like, I can name seven kitchens off the top of my head. Yeah, like... Infinite kitchens.
Valerie, my kitchen at home. Just kidding.
Valerie just, like, mouthed the name of a kitchen that I can't say on this podcast. But yeah, 100%. Like, if you could tell me this is the greatest food you'll ever, this is like a Michelin star restaurant.
If it's a Michelin starred restaurant.
But that's the thing. You have to assume.
If he
wasn't a rat, it would be a Michelin star restaurant. The only thing holding him back is racism.
I don't think it's racism.
Ratsism.
Okay, I'll think about it.
Thank you. I'll ask you at the end of this podcast.
I think the answer is going to be no. At the end of this podcast in 2 hours, like, how long are we going to be here for?
The next thing on the list, Valerie's written, direct. There's lots of very specific directions on very specific ways that we have to prepare the offerings. This is not new. We know that God is very specific in what God likes and does not like.
A lot of rules.
And we see that reflected a lot in this movie. Mostly that, like, Remy the Ratatouille is very particular about, like, the way he cooks food. Like, when Colette goes to start making the Ratatouille, he says, no. Yeah. I want this one specifically. And also, like, I think Anton Ego is very specific about, like, that's what a critic is, right? Like, he is super specific about food. And then, like, you have that, like, probably one of the greatest scenes in modern cinema of, like, him taking a bite of the ratatouille and then being, like, blasted back into his childhood. Can we stop comparing it for the Parsha for a second? The way that that, like, describes, like, you can be really, really good at something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can spend an entire career cultivating a talent, whether it's being, like, for writing or, like, a food critic or a book critic, a movie, like, whatever it is.
Making sacrifices to Hashem.
I just start naming all of the different types of critic for some reason, like, stuck in a cycle.
Art critic.
But the thing that, like, really, like, drives your love and passion for it is, like, the way you loved it as a child, right? Mm. The entire thing that, like, sparks his entire interest in food is his mom in, like, provincial France making food for him, and that's the best food he's ever going to eat because it tastes like love and nostalgia and all of these things. And he's, like, this bitter old man and has a bite of food that just, like, blasts him back to the thing that he, like, the essence that he loves about food.
Yeah.
It's just, like, such a beautiful scene. If I come to you and I tell you, you will eat a food that will make you think of, like, the most beautiful memory of childhood. Like, it will blast you back into that moment, but it was made by a rat. Do you eat it?
I feel good to leave my childhood in the past.
My good bro, you're lying for the sake of, like, this is like when someone asks, like, do you pee in the shower? And everyone's like, oh, no. Everyone's peed in the shower.
Wow, Shoshana, but just okay. Also, you're getting mad at me for doing the thing that you literally do all the time. Queen Doc Connect is sitting across from me and getting mad.
I know you need the rat food. I know you need the rat food.
You're getting mad that I won't say that I'm made by a rat.
But I know you would.
Oh, anyway. Also, as far as, like, the specific directions, it's just, like, following a recipe, right?
It is.
Like,
yeah,
it's back just to cooking. My comparisons, back to the Parsha.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time left. People have already turned off the podcast. It's over.
Meal offerings.
Yeah.
Cooking. It's just cooking.
Yeah,
you mix, more cooking. You mix things together.
Also, you bring the meal offering to the priest, and then the priest gives it to Hashem. So basically,
a waiter,
the Kohanim are the waiters.
Well, I was also like, it's like that scene where Linguini, like, is on rollerblades and he's doing everything. Like, I feel like the Kohanim, even though there's obviously separate jobs, they do everything, right? Like, they've got a, like, it's not like they've got, like, a guy who comes in and kills it and then the Kohanim bring it. Like, they have to kill it, they have to bring it. They are Linguini on rollerblades, rollerblading. Okay. When we did Parshat Vayakel, we spoke about what we would take from Barbie's dream house to the Bet HaMikdash, and I said hot tub, and I think I want to rescind my answer and say it's not from the dream house, but I want to give all of the Kohanim a pair of Barbie roller skates so they can just do their job easier, and I think it would be very whimsical, and I would enjoy that very much.
That's really what the Bet HaMikdash needs, is a little bit of whimsy.
A little bit of whimsy.
Whimsy. I was also going to say, as you were talking about that, it's interesting because Linguini does have his own talents. They're just not show. Like, it's interesting.
That
I can
imagine
roller
skate.
You were, only that he can roller skate and take direction.
And he can make hot, scary women fall in love with him. Yes. I think that's a talent.
Yeah, it is a talent. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Oh my God, I wish I had that talent.
You can work on it.
Fucking chaotic episode.
What was I going to say? No, I was in the middle of making a point. Can you imagine if you're a Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash and you're like, I really just want to be roller skating, or I really just want to be like, I think I'd be a lot better as a farmer or something. Like, I just like the pressure of the expectations of your family.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. I'd read that book about a Kohen or watch a movie about.
I mean,
Kohen
I feel like that story every time, right? Where it's like people, like, there's an expectation in certain communities that all men just go to yeshiva. Mm-hmm. Some men aren't. People aren't built for yeshiva. Like, maybe you just send them to like a trade school. Like that's the responsible parenting thing to do.
Yeah.
I think that's a big comparison. Good comparison to make.
Right, and I think, like, as far as parenting goes, like, I never felt any pressure from my parents to, like, be a certain way. But apparently my brother did because he was an engineering student for a while, and he was like, I am not good at this.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
You've also written Must Have Salt as a comparison.
Oh, well, I think in both it should be in both columns. Okay. Everything needs salt.
And then you wrote as a question, Hashem is the restaurant critic?
Thank you for your answering. You wrote yes.
Yes. He is.
He's Anton Ego.
Yeah, God decides like what gets accepted if like God accepts the sin offering. You also have like stories of other offerings in Tanakh, and I'm thinking specifically of like Eliyahu and like fire, or like
Cain and Hevel
of like fire, like mamash fire coming down and like accepting an offering. That's a critic.
Yeah.
It's a happy consumer.
Right. I mean, I guess like when you burn things, Hashem doesn't really have a choice of like accepting it, but like Anton Ego, what is that supposed to be a pun?
I think his last name is just Ego.
he is like, if I don't like it, I don't swallow.
Yeah. That was a good accent after all of that chaos. Is there anything else?
Those are all our comparisons.
If you had to, let's say like the third base of Mikdash is built in a completely uncontested, totally morally okay way.
Yeah. Drops from the sky.
Onto a place.
That is not contested. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Everything's fine and there's the third base of Mikdash. And God comes to you and says, I'm doing away with all of the old sacrifices.
Cool.
You have to bring me your favorite food that isn't Wacky Mac as a sacrifice. Like, what food is fancy enough to take as an offering to God, but also reflects, like, your love for it? Like, what do you take to God?
Wow. Okay, the first thing that popped into my mind is, like, a risotto.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're delicious.
Okay.
Amazing odors.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm not Googling risotto. If that's
you don't
what
know
you're
what
asking.
Risotto is?
I actually know what it looks like. Oh, it's the one with rice. Cool.
Yeah. You like slow cook rice. So I think it's like an act of love, right? Like when you make risotto, it's like you have to like add broth a little bit at a time. So the rice like soaks it up and then it gets like really soft.
Do you know what's really funny? Is that growing up, my mom called ratatouille, or like our version of ratatouille, lecho.
Okay.
And I thought lecho was like a really Australian nickname for something. It's Hungarian. It's like it's like a Hungarian word. And so I think I get lecho and risotto in my head confused just because of the O sounding at the end. Anyway, so risotto because it's a slow cooked.
Yeah. I think it like shows care. It's delicious. Has that same, I like it with Parmesan in it.
Do you think God would care if I got him takeaway?
What takeaway?
I don't know. Maybe some of that duck ramen we got.
Oh, I think God would love that.
Yeah. Other than that, I think I'd make God chicken schnitzels.
Now that you're an expert.
I'm an expert in them. They're just so good.
Chicken schnitzel.
Schnitzel? That's all. That was very Australian of you. That was like very bogan Australian of you, schnitz.
Chicken schnitzel.
Yeah.
Is one of the best foods in the world.
Yeah. And I think that like God will appreciate how much I love it. And yeah. No matter what I make, I think God would appreciate the stress that it has caused me, because just making any food stresses me out.
Yeah. French fries, maybe. Love a French fry.
Nah.
Some ranch.
I think potatoes are overrated.
Wow. Wow.
People like them too much.
What about some sushi?
Oh, I'd take God's sushi. What do you think God's sushi order is?
Based on this?
Both, based on this and based on just your intuition person who loves God.
This is what I'm going to say. This is a really specific thing that probably one listener of this podcast will understand, and that's my brother. At Makuni, there's a sushi restaurant in the Northern California area. It's called Makuni. They have this barbecue tuna appetizer where they like sear the tuna on the outside, so then it's raw in the middle, and they serve it with like, oh my God, my mouth is watering. They serve it with a red sauce and a white sauce, and it's so good. And I
Benjamin
feel like
roll?
No, it's not a roll, it's an appetizer, it's like a small plate.
Which Midtown Sacramento?
Yeah.
I'm literally looking it up online.
Here's an image. I'm gonna
is it on the main the main and to go? Okay.
It's so good. And I think what God would like about it is it has that it's like seared, you know?
Nice, yeah.
Oh my god, it's so good. Have I mentioned it's really good? It's
yeah,
really
you
good.
Have a couple of times.
Mukuni is an excellent sushi restaurant. Good job. I hate to tell you all that it's not kosher, but
shame.
It is what it is.
I don't know if God would like sushi. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think there's too much going on there for God. God likes some simple.
You don't think over the millennia that God has developed a refined palate?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Okay.
I think God's just waiting for some frankincense.
God is a God of simple pleasures. Mm. Honestly, God would be fine if we just didn't sin at all and we didn't have to bring.
See, God is a DJ and life is the dance floor. Love is the rhythm and you are the music.
All right. It's been fun. It's been really fun. We love you all. Thank you if you've stuck with us this far. Shoshana, this is Shoshana's last episode on the podcast. She's fired.
I am quoting poet and legend Alicia Beth Pinkmore.